welcome to Culture Beat on 90.5 WICN. My name is David Ginsberg. I'm here with Nikki Erskine from the Worcester Cultural Coalition. Hello, Nikki.
Hello, David.
Please tell everyone your title.
My title is the marketing manager for the Worcester Cultural Coalition.
She is a big deal. Why are we doing Culture Beat? Who are we?
Who are we?
It's not in an existential way. We're actually going to answer the question. So Nikki is the marketing manager for the Worcester Cultural Coalition. I am the general manager here at 90.5 WICN. As many of our longtime listeners know, WICN is the voice of arts and culture in Worcester and Central Massachusetts. And we always want to find ways that we can embrace arts and culture and give a voice and drive as much awareness as we can to our local institutions, indoor and outdoor, and all the great activities that we have going on, even in the midst of our current situation, because of how much richness culture adds to our civic life. So that was the essence. This is Culture Beat. Our goal each week for the 30 minutes that we have you is to talk about what's going on, what you can do, how you can enjoy the arts in the city, how you can take advantage and support local artists and really help give a lift to all of the community that we have here. And we hope that you'll join us every Thursday at 6:30 for that very purpose here on Culture Beat.
Yeah, and David, thank you so much for inviting me to be part of this project. Working with the Worcester Cultural Coalition, I get to work with museums, schools, festivals, science organizations, galleries, and more all around the city and beyond.
You are plugged in.
I am plugged in. Well, not at the moment, but working remote.
But
there's so much going on, even in this pandemic life that we're living. When people aren't actually going out as much as they used to, or there might be concerns about whether a space is safe, is its HVAC system up to code, how much hand sanitizer can one person carry. So many of the organizations around the city have really taken the initiative and been creative in how they're bringing their offerings to the public. There's still ways to go and actually visit different places, but other places have online programs for people to take advantage of. And there's just a lot of ways to stay connected and stay creative, even if you're staying home.
Agree. And I think one of the things that's important for us to mention, and for you, the listener at home right now, that despite the pandemic and the restrictions on what we can and can't do, and I would like you to talk a little bit about this, Nikki, that why it's important to support these organizations right now, that as everyone's trying to make their way through this and navigate a really uncharted path through this new landscape that we're in, it's going to be going on for some time to come still. A lot of organizations have had to pivot in almost real time to find ways to stay relevant and open and keep funding coming in, which obviously leads to why now supporting them more than ever is so important. But talk a little bit about how some of these organizations have been able to survive and navigate through the pandemic over the course of the past almost year at this point.
Yeah, we're at the 10-month mark at
Crazy.
This point since I've been working from home. While the dress code is better, there's some real concerns about how organizations are going to stay afloat. There was a study that came out at the end of October by the Mass Cultural Council, which said that in creative organizations, the cultural sector, in Massachusetts alone, over $484 million in revenue has been lost so far.
Wow.
Over 30,000 jobs have been impacted. It can be easy to look around and see art as nice, like a commodity. But it's really necessary because we're not only talking about jobs and revenue drivers, we're talking about our mental health. We're talking about our ability to stay connected, stay engaged, and feel alive. So the Worcester Cultural Coalition this past December had a creative giving campaign, which amplified the calls for fundraising from various organizations. There's over 40 different organizations who have websites set up where you can just, go give $5, give $100, whatever it is that you can, to help them not have to close their doors. The big hope was that instead of them closing the book, we'd help them write the next chapter. And we were able to see a lot of people come through, donate whatever they could, and with any luck, we'll be able to get back together soon.
We sure hope so. And there's two important things that you mentioned that I want to touch upon a little bit in more detail if we can. One of them is 30,000 jobs lost, $484 million in revenue is out the window. when you think about that in a macroeconomic terms, 30,000 jobs, you think, oh, the arts, they can do something else. Most of these people cannot do something else. This is their livelihood that they've chosen. So when you take a moment to support these organizations now, whether it's through a donation, paying a visit, buying a piece of art, volunteering your time and service mm-hmm. to help contribute, that has a direct impact. We're all in this together. I know it's a bit of a cliche at this point, but there are ways you can participate in and have a real tangible impact in helping to keep these jobs and these people supported and these organizations that are so vital to what we do going. Mm. And the other thing that you mentioned that I think is important to come back to, from a mental health standpoint, we've all collectively been in various stages of quarantine, shutdowns. For people that, unlike me, that are married and have children that are all home all the time, bless
Who
you
are
for
they?
Yeah, seriously. but my hat's off to you for navigating through all this, keeping the kids in school online virtually, maintaining a job if you're still employed and working remotely. How do you find outlets to work off some of that stress as we go through this thing? And one of those ways is to participate in the arts and in the culture that's going on around the area. I think back to last summer, you were on the street painting the Black Lives Matter in a streetscape. Mm-hmm. Things like that, to take advantage of a cultural moment, to participate and lend your voice and lend a hand in a literal sense to bring these things together has an impact. It helps you to feel tied back to your community. It makes you feel like you're contributing to something larger than just yourself and your day-to-day. And then on a smaller level, and we're going to talk about some of these great events and things you can do every day, even in the midst of this of our long, cold winter, to get outdoors and give yourself a chance to take a break, step away from the routine, because in a situation like this, we're slaves to routine anyway. When your routine is so much more condensed into just your home life, the need for that outlet becomes even more significant.
I couldn't agree more. It can be really easy to get depressed and apathetic
mm-hmm.
right now. And the more we can focus outward and think about giving and growing, you know, I think the better, this is not medical advice, but I know that on the days when I do, I feel better.
100%. And I think one of the things that we wanted to mention is that you can have a voice and participate in this beyond just supporting the individual locations and making donations. There's a task force through the Worcester Cultural Coalition. If you could touch on that a little bit and how people can participate in that.
Yeah, so the Worcester Cultural Task Force is an online meeting every other Wednesday at 2 p.m. We have a number of people come from cultural institutions, gig workers. It's open to anybody in the creative community
mm-hmm.
to come and talk about what's going on. You know, what are the challenges that they're facing? How can the Worcester Cultural Coalition be an advocate for you and your needs in this time? You know, it certainly started off being focused on the pandemic, but then in the wake of George Floyd, we started talking about what our organizations can do,
mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of systemic issues that exist. We've talked about education and where we can be more involved in the public schools. So there's a number of topics that we talk about, and we also give people the opportunity to share their own experiences, ask their own questions. So it's casual. It's not a PowerPoint meeting, PowerPoint presentation type meeting. It's usually a conversation, almost like a salon. So we do that every other Wednesday. The next one will be this coming Wednesday. And then on the odd Wednesdays, I put out the Arts and Culture newsletter, which is, just the events, the calls to artists that are happening all around the city. And the most recent one came out yesterday on the 13th.
And it's interesting, you know, I get the emails, obviously. I'm a member of the Cultural Task Force now. And to your point, just whether you're going to participate or not, it's a great way to network and connect with people that are in a similar, if you're in a creative environment, it's a great way just to network and meet other people in the environment, in the community that might be able to collaborate with you down the line, mm-hmm. that might foster new connections, that might open up ideas for projects you hadn't considered before,
right?
And find new pathways to participate in our vibrant cultural institutions across the city and through the larger Greater Worcester area.
Oh, yeah, because we're not meeting at coffee shops anymore. We're not, you know, bumping into somebody at the bar.
Sadly, no.
And starting these conversations. So I think this is a really great networking opportunity. I've met a lot of interesting people. To sign up for the Arts and Culture newsletter, you can visit worcesterculture.org and fill out the little sign-up form. And then the Cultural Task Force, you can also find information on that at worcesterculture.org.
That is worcesterculture.org for you. And I also want to mention, so we are doing the show here in WICN Studio 50, which the last in-person task force meeting prior to the pandemic was held in Studio 50. So it's nice to be back in the room with you. But for WICN, and I'm going to put on my general manager hat for a moment.
Over the headphones?
It's a very large hat.
It is. Looks like a 20-gallon.
You know, I look like I'm smuggling a watermelon. But I wanted to mention, you know, for WICN, you know, we, like every other community or creative place in the city and really across the country, since March has had to radically change the way we go about our day-to-day business, you know, from restricting the number of people in the building at a given time to staying on the air with a minimal number of hosts in March and April. And now we've done a number of live streaming concerts from right here in Studio 50, virtual streaming. We did our virtual streaming Jazz at Sunset concert from in front of the Hanover Theater back in October. We're doing all we can to provide quality entertainment, quality programming for you, because we still want to fulfill our mission of being the voice of arts and culture. And what we found, as many of you listening have already experienced through streaming at home, whether it's something you've streamed on Facebook Live or YouTube or something else on demand or tuned in during a Facebook Live that we've done, the shift into consuming content from home versus going out to do things has been fairly seamless. And some of that is the acceleration of technology like Zoom that we now all spend so much time Zoom and GoToMeeting and Google Meet and on down the line of different the variety of video conferencing technologies. But it's made it kind of commonplace. And if you're craving culture and if you're craving the arts, whether it's something from WICN or any of the myriad 80 organizations that belong to the Worcester Cultural Coalition, there's something out there for you that if you're still reluctant to go out and do things, we certainly understand the reluctance to go out considering the current state of our environment. There's a tremendous amount of wealth of content that you can still consume from the comfort of your own home and not miss out on the richness that you would like to get.
Yeah, and it's not just content to consume, it's content that you can participate in. I've seen open mic nights. Actually, the Cultural Development Division for the City of Worcester hosts an open mic night every month. And I've seen online classes from the, the Worcester Center for Crafts, from the Worcester Art Museum, and also from the Hanover Theater and Conservatory right behind us here. I was taking an in-person improv class at the Hanover, actually, when the pandemic hit. And so quickly, I mean, thankfully for all the creative people who work there,
right,
they were so quickly able to pivot this class to be online. And while we didn't get, you know, as much physical play in the classes, you know, we're still able to make eye contact and, you know, jump in on each other's jokes when we wanted to, which is awesome.
You were making jokes?
Never.
It's so out of character.
I've never heard a joke in my life. But the Hanover offers, you know, improv classes, acting classes, dance classes, and they've actually got a hybrid right now where you can, if you're comfortable enough, feeling well, you can go into the class, and they've got big projector screens in the classrooms for the people who are remote learning, you know, remote participating, so that they actually get more of that sense of being in the same space, being able to contribute and participate in real time, which I think is pretty awesome.
That's really cool. I've seen an ad on Facebook. They have another course they're offering online. I think it's a production course if you want to learn some basic sound production, sound engineering, things like that.
Oh, you should take that.
Perhaps I will, Nikki. Thank you.
And that was their last show.
That was a little bit of an inside joke here for our technical setup, too. And WICN in the fall, we did our Jazz 101 class virtually this year, which is a very popular course for our listeners. We do a Jazz 101 in the fall. We do usually in the spring semester, we do an 8-week course focused on a specific topic. And we don't know yet for the spring what that topic is going to be, but it'll be something fun. But we had, you know, 50 or so participants in the spring, or in the fall rather, took Jazz 101, loved it. We'll be back in just a moment with more of Culture Beat. We're going to talk about some of the things that you can do this weekend and in the weeks coming up for the remainder of January into February, some ways you can enjoy winter both indoors and out. This is 90.5 WICN.